2 Kings chapter number 4, and we begin reading in verse number 8, and then I'm going to flip over to chapter number 8 and begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there." Now, chapter number 8 and verse number 1, we really don't know how much time has transpired between the text I read and the one that I'm going to read that's going to deal with these two characters. We do know the things that have taken place as we read the verses. If you were to read the verses in between, God uses Elisha to pray for this young family, and they are blessed with a young son. The son falls sick one day out in the field and dies. And God uses the man of God also to come and lay upon him and to restore life to him. And then we pick up in chapter number 8 and verse 1. And the Bible said, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." God, many times, as he controls the elements, would send judgment by way of withholding rain, famine. And that's what he's doing to Israel because of her sin. Verse number 2, "The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. It came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, and that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. When the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now." You may be seated. I want to preach tonight for just a few moments on this subject. It really does pay to serve the Lord. Now, the devil would have us to think that God is some cheapskate, penny pincher, miser, a Scrooge that sits on the throne of heaven and he's constantly slapping the hands of his children saying, No, no, no. He did so when he went into the garden. He said to Adam and Eve, as he talked to them, he said, "If God said you can't eat of this tree." Instead of pointing out to them all of the multitudes, and no one knows the number of the fruit trees that were in that garden that God put at their disposal that they could have. But yet Satan doesn't come into the garden saying, "Boy, I bet that's good fruit over there. Have you tried that? Or how about this over here? It's got a wonderful scent about it." No, he draws Adam and Eve's attention to the one thing that they're not supposed to have. And can I say to you, certainly there are a few things in life that God has said no to as far as I'm concerned and you're concerned and therefore our betterment. But there is no comparison between what he's told me I could have and what I can't have. The blessings are innumerable. I had a dear elderly sister in the first church that I pastored. She came into church one Sunday morning with her cane, came all the way down to the front. She said to me, "Sister Laura King," she said to me, "I ought to take this cane and whack you over the head." I said, "Sister Laura, that sounds violent. Why would you do that?" She said, "Because, preacher, on Wednesday night you told us to go home and before we went to sleep to count our blessings." She said, "I laid down in my bed and started counting and it was 3 o'clock in the morning before I got to sleep." Well, I say unto you, so it would be with you and with me if we were to begin to enumerate the multitudes of things that God has allowed us to have, how precious they are. And it leads me to say that it really does pay, and I want to emphasize that, it really does pay, thank God, to serve the Lord. Now, I don't think we ought to serve the Lord for selfish gain. But yet at the same time, I don't believe you can serve Him but what He doesn't pay off. And here in our text, we find a woman back in the early days of chapter number 6, as her and her husband has it laid upon their heart to build just a little old modest chamber. A place where the man of God could come by and he could rest himself from the toils of the labor of preaching the Word of God. A little lampstand that he could read by, a bed he could lie in. God has laid it upon their heart to do this, and they do it with no thought of gain in mind. They just believe, they perceive, the Bible said, this is, thank God, a man of the Lord. But little does she know the dividends that that act is going to pay years later. How God is going to multiply the blessings in her life and pay off as He always does. Now I want to point it out to you here in the text. I think that there are 4 ways in which it really pays to serve God. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 1. Serving God pays off, first of all, in truth. The first way that God pays off is in truth. Now we have in the text here, Elisha. And the Lord has given him an imparted truth. This is not conjecture. This is not gossip. This is not a rumor. But God has come to Elisha and given him an inspired truth and said to his servant, "I'm going to send a famine across this land." He's the only one, humanly speaking, that knows about the judgment that is to come. He has the truth of the Word of God. But what does he do? The Bible tells us in verse number 1, Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life. The first one that came to Elisha's mind was this little old family that many years before had built this little chamber, this little cottage for to be a blessing to his heart and to his life. And in his mind, he said, I can't know this truth and keep it to myself. But I got a burning desire to impart this truth to this family. I don't know how far he had to travel. But I know that he did as he crossed, no doubt, the mountains and went through the valleys and crossed the creeks and so on. And he comes and knocks on this woman's door. She knows nothing about what's going to come. And the man of God says unto her, I've come today to give you some imparted and inspired truth. God has told me that there is coming some trouble ahead. It's a brewing. The clouds are fixing to move by. And the sun is fixing to burn it down. And what I want to say to you, what it's laid upon my heart to come and tell you, is you need to get out of here and get away from the judgment that is about to fall. He brought her truth. I say unto you that it really pays to serve God, first of all, because He always pays off in truth. What kind of price tag would you put on the truth that you know? There's been truth that has been shot like arrows all this week. Not just from me, from your pastor, and from Brother Donald, and from just different ones that have stood and testified, and from the songs that have been sung. They have all been filled with truth, and thank God it has been inspired truth. And while you're here, it became imparted truth. Where would you be tonight? Had you not had the truth of the Word of God delivered to your soul, as it has been said, to keep you out of hell, and then to sustain you for the storms that would rage in the days ahead. I want to say to you, I praise God for the truth that has been imparted in my soul. I'm glad for every old man of God that has crossed this country, that I've been able to sit as a young man at their feet as they opened what God had seared in their souls and began to impart unto me inspired truth. Now we ought to thank God for the servant of God. Little do you know that during the week, that God begins to churn and begins to birth a message within His heart. A word from heaven. And you faithfully come to the house of God to hear the Word of God. And He stands up with a burden on His soul to deliver unto you what God has delivered unto Him. And thank God how many of us could testify, even here tonight, at what God has spared us from and what God has led us into because of the truth of the Word of God that has been imparted and buried in the depths of my soul. She got the truth. God paid off. She didn't know when they erected that little place there that one day God was going to pay off by sending a word into her life. She got truth. Aren't you glad you know that you're saved? Aren't you glad that you know the Lord's a-coming? Aren't you glad you know about the truths of the Word of God that the Lord has planted in your heart as He has given you, as He has paid off in truth? My daughter said to me here recently, my custom was when I had to deal with one of my young'uns, I always took them into the study. If I had to talk to them, even from children on up. And she said, Daddy, you know, it wasn't the whippings and the talks that bothered me so bad when you took me in the study. I said, well, what was it, honey? She said, it was all them godly books. Aren't you glad for the truth? God pays off in truth. But then I want you to notice with me, in verse number 2, the Lord, I'm talking about it really pays to serve God, because He not only pays off in truth, but I notice in verse number 2, He pays off in trust. It's not only a blessing to hear the Word of God. A lot of folks hear it with the ear, but not everybody believes. But how blessed it is to sit in the congregation and hear the man of God pour out the truth and your heart say amen to that. And God woo you and bring you to an old-fashioned altar and settle some issues in your life. God not only pays off in truth, but I notice He pays off in trust. Now this is a big ordeal that the man of God has spoken to the woman about. Her and her husband have raised their family on this farm. I don't know how many years they've lived there. It's not going to be easy just to uproot and walk away from all of that. But yet when the man of God comes and thunders forth the Word of God, I notice in verse number 2, without hesitation, the Bible said, and the woman arose. Now, why do you think she did that? How come she didn't fight the preacher? How come she didn't scorn him? How come she didn't say, now, if you think I'm just going to walk off from everything I've caught, you've got another thought coming. But yet it seems as though it was so easy and simple for her without any hesitation, and the woman arose. You know why? God paid off with a familiar trust. Her and her family had kept themselves close to the things of God and the man of God. And how many times this old prophet had come all dusty and woolly with the prophet's garments on him through this little community and stayed in this little house. And they'd watched him as he come in, and they'd watched him as he left. They saw his life. They heard his prayers. And they heard his preaching. They'd been around him for years. And it wasn't no struggle for them to have confidence in what the man of God had said. They had been there. They had heard the truth from him many times. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's important that you be here in the house of God when the doors are open. These are not games. They're some storms ahead. And God may want to give you some truth. But He'll want you to trust in that truth. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to be familiar, become familiar with that truth. She said, preacher, I never knowed you to lie or fool around with the truth. If that's what God told you, I'm going to leave Him before you do. God gave her a heart of trust. I'm glad I'm not always kicking against the book. I'm glad I'm not always running away from it. I'm glad God birthed in me a faith and a trust for the truth that has delivered me from the onslaughts of temptation and the wiles of the devil. Because I heard, and what I heard took hold in my heart. And I said, yes, preacher, that's the truth. part of my life. It was familiar trust. But not only, I'm talking about how the Lord pays off. In truth, He pays off in trust. It's a familiar trust, but not only is it a familiar trust, but I noticed in my text that it's a family trust. Now here's where it becomes important. The Scripture tells us, "And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her," what? Household. Now, I know the boy's involved with this because down in verse number 5, it tells us that the boy is there with her. I don't know how old he is. I don't know if he's up old enough to marry, got his own children. It seems to imply that possibly her husband has passed from the scene, doesn't speak of him. But here's the blessed thing. She had no idea when she built that cottage. She had no idea when she built that prophet's chamber that one day in the midst of the biggest storm that her world had ever known, that God was going to come along and pay off in truth and pay off in trust. Trust not only in her heart, but in the heart of her son. I have tried to imagine the relationship between the old prophet and that little boy. I don't know that we could even calculate the bond that was there. Because you remember, as I told you, if you'll go back and read the previous chapters, it was a man of God under a burden that prayed that this man and this woman would have this little boy. That'd make that little boy special, wouldn't it? Well, if you had a couple in this church, Brother Ken, that had been praying, wanting a baby, and God used you one night to, I'll tell you, down at this old altar, as you laid hands on them, as you often do, and prayed for them, and then in a month or two, they come and said, we got a little boy on the way. And that little old boy come in. Wouldn't it be special? Never, I tell you, the older he got, the more special he'd become. The old prophet say he's just almost like mine. Like my own grandson. He was special. But something made him even more special. The boy died one day. She came crying, and the man of God went and closed the doors and went in and laid upon him and breathed upon him, and God brought him back to life. Now, he's not only in this world because the man of God prayed for him, but because the man of God restored him. How special do you think that boy was to the preacher? Every time he'd run through, if the preacher's anywhere around, he'd say, "I prayed that boy into the world right there. And I prayed over that boy. He's dead, and God gave him life. He's special." That bond I'm talking about that broke trust in the heart of that boy. You know how little boys are. Can you hear that little boy saying, "Mama"? And I really believe this had to happen. You know, you can imagine it would be strange for this to happen. He'd say, "Mama, is a preacher coming by this weekend? Is this the weekend he stays over in the chamber, Mama? Is he coming this?" She said, "Well, yes, honey, it is." "Well, Mama, can I stay with him tonight if he's coming? Would it be all right if I stay? Mama, can I sleep with him again?" She'd say, "Honey, you know the preacher's tired. The prophet's been proclaiming the word of God across these wicked hills and mountains and people battling against him. He probably's going to need to. But Mama, if I ask him, he says, yes, can I?" Well, you know the heart of the old prophet when he comes in. Yeah. Little boy runs out the path to him and says, "Preacher, can I stay tonight? Preacher, can I stay tonight? Would it be all right?" He says, "Sure, son, you can stay with me." You see the little old boy just crawl up in the bed with the old prophet and scrooch real close to him. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, God begins to rumble in the prophet's heart.
He rolls out in the floor and the Shekinah glory is around him. And he begins to talk to the Lord. And the little old boy pulls the cover back and begins to peek out, seeing God everywhere. No wonder he had no problem believing. God paid this woman off in trust. And little did she know God was going to put faith into the heart of this old boy.
Again, I don't know how old he is. Maybe he's up married. Where, I don't know. But he comes home in the house, no doubt. And Mama said, "Son, preacher come by today." "Well, Mama, it ain't. He's supposed to come by then. What's he doing here?" Said, "He's got a word for us." Said, "What did he say, Mama?" Said, "He told me judgment is coming. And the best thing for us to do is get out of here." He said, "Mama, I'm right with you. We're packing. We're getting out of here." Isn't it a blessing to look back across the congregation and see some of you youngins sitting back there and some of them saying amen in their soul to the truth? The truth that'll keep them out of hell. The truth that'll keep them out of trouble. You go back to the house, sit around and say, "Don't you think service was a little long? Don't you think they really were a little too excited? Don't you think maybe they're working things up? Honey, all you're doing is sending your children to hell." Because when a man of God gets up with a real word that God's birthed in his heart specifically for that child, they won't hear it! She said it, the preacher, he said it, the preacher said it, let's go! I said it really pays to serve God. He pays off in truth. He pays off in trust. Really pays to serve the Lord. Oh, if nothing but seeing this hand work in the hearts of my children, he's paid off. He's paid off. Thirdly, I want you to notice it really pays to serve the Lord, not only because he pays off in truth, he pays off in trust. But notice with me in verse number 5, he pays off in testimony. You know, when the Lord saved you, he gave you something special that he didn't give anybody else, and that's your own personal testimony. Now, I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what you've gone through. But I'll tell you something, I wouldn't swap my testimony with anybody. Now, I preached a little bit about how I was raised and all the things of that nature. But honey, all that's bottled up in my test, that's called my testimony. And I preach out of that. I testify out of that. It's special to my heart and it becomes special to the hearts of others. Don't go to grumbling and complaining over what you've been through, what you've gone through. God's trying to build a testimony. By the providence of God, the king is talking with the servant of Elisha, Gehazi, verse 4. He said, "Tell me some of those stories about the man of God that Elisha had done." And the Bible said it came to pass, he began to tell the king the story about how, can you hear him? "Oh," he said, "King, I got a bunch I could tell you, but one that comes to mind is about a Shunammite woman and how they didn't have no kids. And so I remember the day
when the man of God told me, he said, I'm burdening my heart, pray for them, they'll have a young one. And said, King, you wouldn't believe it, it was 9 months, they had a baby. Said, our old boy grew up 6, 7, 8 years old, thought everything was all right. One day she come running, sent for her husband, and said that old boy fell sick, and time was up there, he's dead and gone. I thought, boy, this is the saddest day in my life. But said, oh, King, the man of God went in there and said, he laid on him, breathed on him, and said, you won't believe it, but said the old boy, he said, hold it. He said, my Lord, King, that's her right there. She'd come in, the Bible tells, she had came in at the time he was doing the talking. The Bible said, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my Lord, O King, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the Bible said, and when the king asked the woman, he said, that's her. And Gehazi said, yeah, that's her. He said, will you shut up? I want her to testify. I don't believe in women preaching, but I'd like to have been there. Because that old woman had something to tell. She wasn't again moaning and groaning over what all happened to her and how her son got sick. She didn't spend a whole lot of time there. She said, what? He said, will you testify? She said, I'd be glad to. Now, I don't know how long she testified. I don't know what all that this included, but the scripture said that she began to testify. She began to tell him, and can you hear her? And she goes back to the beginning. She said, well, my first recollection is we put together a little old hut for him to stay in. And he prayed, we had a child, child died, resurrected a child. Boy, you can just hear her, I'm testifying!
You got no idea what your testimony does for you in a community when you don't even know what people are saying. And you got no idea how many favors come your way because God built a testimony in your life to where other people could believe what you had to say. Using the circumstances and situations of your life as God lets others hear and turns the hearts of men to your favor. She had no chance on this day. The only thing got her in is she had a testimony. I can remember back as a young boy, about 21 years old, me and my wife had just gotten married, moved in a little place up there in the mountains of North Carolina, soon to pastor a church up there. And I remember we didn't have anything. I guess everybody starts out that way, or used to. Used to. Now they start out more than I've got now, I reckon. Credit cards and all that stuff. But I remember I told my wife the faucet and that the sink had messed up. And I said, I'll go up here to Joe Howell's store. I noticed there's a store up there, and in those days there wasn't no Walmarts anywhere around. He'd do business with you on loan and whatever, and he'd pay him back. At least I'd heard that. And I'd been by that store a time or two, and I said, I'll go up there and I'll talk to the owner. I never talked to him directly. I said, I'll see if maybe he'll let me get a faucet. In one of them general stores where they had everything. And so I went in and I said, Mr. Hal, I live up the road here. Me and my wife just moved in. I said, my faucet's messed up and I ain't got no money. But I said, if you could just let me get this faucet right here, I'll be sure to pay you before the month's up. He looked at me and kind of milked that chin and he said, well, I don't. And when he got that far, there was the man that really operated the store for him was in an aisle just from here to that post, down on his knees, a stock and a shelf. I hadn't paid any attention to him. Just about time, old Joe, who later on I got to know real well, he's milking that chin, he said, well, I don't. And I heard the old fellow speak up. He said, Joe, said that's a preacher boy that's moved in the area here. I had no idea anybody knew. And said, let him have that faucet. He'll pay you for it. Joe said, yeah, son, go ahead and take it. I said, woo! Thank you, Lord! It's just a faucet, but I'm going to have a testimony! I'm glad somebody knew! Somebody probably later said to that king, why in the world did you do all that for? He said, I don't know. He said, just the way she talked, what she had to say got me. She had a testimony.
He pays off in truth. He pays off in trust. He pays off in a testimony.
But lastly, and I left this to last because I didn't want you to think I was a name it, claim it, health, wealth, stick it on the refrigerator type preacher that, you know, God was just interested in making us feel good. But I want to tell you the truth of the matter, and I have to tell you this to be honest. God also pays off in things. Simon Peter said, the Lord, we've left our mothers and fathers and lands and houses. Said, what are you going to do for us? He said, Simon, they ain't nobody ever left anything but what I didn't pay them back a hundredfold in this world and the world to come. You're looking at an old boy that come out of nothing but pure poverty, but God's been paying off. He pays off in things. I didn't realize it as a 15-year-old boy. When God saved me, and I used to take a little old a cardboard box and I'd put one on top of the other. I didn't know any Bible except John 3:16. And I'd go down to West 25th Street and I'd get up there on market day and there'd be thousands of people and I'd begin to quote John 3:16. Holes in my shoes! I didn't realize how much God did pay. I really didn't care. All I knew was He'd save me and that was enough to do it. Huh? If He never does another thing for me, He's already done more than I deserve when He saved me! But I'm here to tell you, He pays off in things! Well, look at it. When the king asked the woman, she told him. So, she didn't know this when he was building that little... She had no idea. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all to her that was hers, and all the fruit of the field since the day that she left the land. That sounds to me like she got back pay. Is that back pay? Huh? He said, I want you to go back all the way back. I want you to get it all together. I don't care how many wages it takes. I don't care how much it is. I'm giving her back pay. She got back pay. And she got paid back. Can you see her when she gets back to the house and there's wagon after wagon after wagon coming in? And everybody else has been in the famine. They ain't got nothing. And they said to her, where have you been? She said, I went down to land the Philistines for 7 years. Said, they come from down there? Said, no, they ain't got nothing.
she said, you got time?
She said, many years ago, old prophet passed through. God burdened my heart to do a little something for him. I obeyed him, me and my husband did it. She said, my Lord, I had no idea the dividends coming out of that investment. You know, I pastored there in the mountains for 22 and a half years. I loved it. This is a beautiful country. You ought to visit it. And one day, Brother Ken, the Lord, I told the people, I said, I want to be here till I die. And I did. I loved it. I loved the people. And the Lord came to me one day and said, this is it. I want you to go into evangelism full time. I've been doing it for years and pastoring, and it worked out well until the Lord messed it up. I had three children in college. My wife had inherited the little old house over there at Boone, and it was in shambles. And so I began to tell the Lord what I didn't think He knew. I said, now we're going to talk about this, Lord. I said, first of all, I don't want to go. And I said, secondly, I don't have no place to go. We don't. And I said, thirdly, I got children in college, no way to pay for that. And I said, again, they pay for my insurance. And you know how high that is, Lord. And they supply me an automobile. And it's about time to get another one. And if I leave, I ain't going to get another one. And Lord, you just know it. And I figured I had him pretty well convinced. Never paid me a bit of attention. He said, time to go. I said, Lord, all right, I'm going to go. I called the men together on a Saturday night. They had not heard a word about it. And I told them, I said, I've been here 18, that church at 18 and a half years. I said, I only want to ask you one thing. I know it'd be proper to give you a 2 months, 3 months notice, but I said, God told me I'm finished here. I want to go tonight. Because every Sunday I'm here is going to be death. And you don't need it, and I don't need it. And I left. As far as that church was concerned that night, it was over. I thought I'd be standing out on the side of the road with a big sign that said, we'll preach for food. And I said, Lord, I'm going, but I said, I'm not going to pick up my telephone and call anybody and tell them. He said, I'll do that. And I said, I'll tell you something else. I ain't going to be no ragtag salesman of the gospel running around telling people how poor I am and how big my needs are and how rough it is out on the road and how high gas is and all this other stuff. I'm not begging. He said, you won't have to. If you'll do what I tell you, I'll do it. I still live from day to day. But I'm here to tell you it's been 7 years. And I've eaten too many meals. And I don't look too bad. And I just built, we did, through the Lord, a new house. Y'all supplied us a truck to pull a fifth wheel. Don't you feel sorry for me? But I'm here to tell you the honest truth. You mark it down and underscore it. He pays off in truth, in trust, testimony, things. But can I close with this thought? He pays off just in time. You say, but preacher, he pays off just in time. It'll be on time. You just keep serving Him. You keep coming to the house of the Lord. You keep praising Him. You keep tithing. You keep witnessing. You keep on going. And I promise you, It really does pay. And when you see your children worshiping and bowing beside you at the same altar, you'll know that. Let's stand, and maybe tonight we could close out on a higher note that I've been giving you in the last week. Maybe we could just come around this old altar in a time of praise and thank the Lord for how He's paid off in your life. Maybe you'd just like to tell Him, Lord, I just want to thank You for the wagon You sent my way. I want to thank You for the youngin' that You saved. I want to thank You for the truth that I've heard. It's changed my life. I want to thank You, Lord, for delivering me from the onslaught of the devil and temptation, this old world. Lord, I just want to thank You. You've really paid off in my life.